Father, again tonight we believe that you will speak into our lives. For Lord, you speak the words of eternal life. And Father, when you speak to us, that life-giving spirit just quickens us, Father, in mind, body, and spirit. And so, Lord, I pray tonight that you will so bless and anoint this word, that this word will indeed glorify your name, Father, and that we will be a step further to the kingdom, to you, tonight, in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I want over the next, I think this might be for a few weeks, I think there's certainly going to be an extra teaching on this, but over the last probably 2 weeks, as God has been working with me, I've suddenly become aware, am I drawing comfort from the Holy Spirit? Am I experiencing the Holy Spirit as I should be? I started to raise these questions in my life. I started to think and meditate around this and began to observe and look at this in the church and the churches. And so tonight I'm calling these teachings, Is the Comforter a Comfort? Is the Comfort a Comfort? And indeed he should be. And I want over the next few weeks to really open up to you why the Holy Spirit has come, his ministry, his purpose and his intention. Now, there's a lot of confusion with regard to the Holy Spirit, and I'm not going to go into a lot of it because I really want to address us and those who come into the room, those who are pressing on in the deeper life, the overcomers. But I'm just going to say in passing that there has probably been more confusion over the last 50 to 80 years with regard to the Holy Spirit's ministry than probably anything. And so the confusion lies is that some believe you don't have to be baptized in the Holy Spirit, and others believe that you should be baptized in the Holy Spirit. And then there are those who believe that when you are born again, you're automatically baptized in the Holy Spirit. And some, of course, believe that the evidence of the sign of the baptism is of speaking in tongues. Others don't believe that it is. And we know all of that, and we've addressed that many times over the years. So I don't really want to major on that, other than just to pass briefly with that, that the confusions of the ministry of the Holy Spirit are still with us. The enemy's still active, still confusing people. But I believe that for the overcomers, we indeed are experiencing him, but there is much more to experience the Holy Spirit. And that is why I'm calling this tonight, Is the Comforter indeed a Comfort? And I believe there is today a neglect of the Holy Spirit's ministry in the churches, and it could even be neglected with the overcomers, because we are not going to overcome all things unless we are experiencing the fullness of the Holy Spirit and his ministry as a comforter. I just don't believe that we will attain to that degree of perfection that the Lord is looking for in order for the bride which he makes herself ready. And so many today are becoming lukewarm. We know those days when Jesus comes very much is going to be lukewarm, the Laodicean, neither hot nor cold. And the reason that the Laodicean church is neither hot nor cold is because she's not experiencing the Holy Spirit as the comforter. She's not allowing the Holy Spirit to perfect her, to work with her. No church can overcome unless we allow the Holy Spirit complete free reign to work in the midst of his people. It won't work otherwise. And so what we're seeing today is this lukewarmness. With that, there's unbelief and sin. All these are signs that the Holy Spirit is not ministering as he should be. And of course, there are, through ignorance, some who are not ignorant, some who have experienced the Holy Spirit, but sadly now are blaspheming the Holy Spirit, who was once a comfort, is no longer a comfort. And there's just a general lack of experience of his work and his comfort. Now that should not be amongst the overcomers. As we are pressing in by faith, there shouldn't be that lack of knowing him as the comforter. And he wants to reveal himself more and more as a comforter to us. But before I get into a lot of that, I want to just briefly outline the way the Holy Spirit, and I want to reveal to you that the Holy Spirit is not just some power, not just something that is there for you in a sense just to use, but the Holy Spirit, who's part of the Godhead, revealing the Godhead, is revealing the Father, revealing very gentle the way he works, and he's always depicted and seen as a dove. And a dove is a very timid bird that can be very easily frightened and will fly away. So we begin to get an understanding of the Holy Spirit and how gentle, how loving, how gracious he moves. And you violate that, you interfere with that, you damage that, he flies away. And this is what happens in churches, through their unbelief, through their divisions, through lack of love, squabbling, putting God's anointed down, and oh, you could just go on. All of that will affect the Holy Spirit, who's to be that comforter, that will affect the Holy Spirit's ministry to individuals and to the church. It is serious. But before we look into more of that, I want us just to look at something. Psalm 139. And if we look at verses 7 to 10 of 139, we see that the deity of the Holy Spirit. 139 verses 7 to 8. Where can I go from your spirit? Or where can I flee from your presence? If I ascend into heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, you are there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in it, goes on. So there we get a clear indication of the deity of the Holy Spirit. He is everywhere. He is holding everything by his power. If we look in 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 10, 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 10, we see the omnipotence of the Holy Spirit. 1 Corinthians, deep things of God. The Holy Spirit searches everything. Everything that conforms or will conform to the perfect will of God. Therefore, he is omnipotent in that sense. We also know, and I'm sure you've got these underlined, 14 and verse 26, We know that his ministry is also to teach us. We see in John 14 and verse 26, which he says here, well, let's go from verse 25. These things I have spoken to you while being present with you, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things that I said to you. And peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you, not as the world gives, do I give to you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let it be afraid. So the Holy Spirit, he says, will come and will teach you those things you need to know in that right hour and in that right way. And the sign of that is my peace will be with you. And that's always a good sign. Where the Holy Spirit is teaching, leading and guiding, there's always peace that is attached to that as well. Let's just again remind ourselves in chapter 16, verse 12 of John. Chapter 16, verse 12. However, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth. For he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will tell you things to come. And he will glorify me, for he will take of what is mine and declare it to you. And all things that the Father has are mine. Therefore I said that he will take of mine and declare it to you. So we see the perfect union in the teaching of the Holy Spirit, that it all comes from the source, from the Father. And that Jesus says, as the mediator at the right hand, there's nothing I will withhold that God reveals. What he reveals to me, I will reveal to you, being the head over the church. Again, this is absolutely vital for us. If we are to be comforted by the Comforter, that our teaching is from the throne of God itself, being delivered to us. This is why it is important that we hear what the Spirit says to the church. And you see, if the church today is not hearing what the Spirit is saying, then they will not experience the Comforter as they should. Because that is the way the Comforter works. We have received of his fullness. We haven't received an impartial infillment of the Holy Spirit. We've all received the fullness of the Holy Spirit. It's whether we experience the Holy Spirit. It's whether we allow the flesh to be crucified in order to experience the Holy Spirit, the Comforter. It's whether we're willing to surrender our wills, which we call discipleship, in order that we experience more of his fullness. So we have received that fullness. It's just that we're entering into that as we get deliverance, change, and all the work that God does. Also, we see in John chapter 6 and verse 63. John chapter 6 and verse 63, which he says here, if the Spirit who gives life, the flesh profits nothing. The words that I speak to you are spirit and they are life. And then he goes on. You see, what he was revealing there, he was revealing, unless you have the Spirit, you will never receive the word, because it can only be received by the Spirit. And therefore, if it is received by the Spirit, therefore, he is a comforter. And that is why the Word of God, when we open the Word of God and we come together in fellowship, there must be, at the end of our meeting, some experience and comfort from God, through the Holy Spirit, that has spoken to us, helped us, encouraged us, and built us up. Otherwise, what is the point of our meetings? They are in vain. And yet we have so many brothers and sisters who do not experience that in their meetings. who are going from church to church trying to get this comfort, this encouragement. And all they do, many of them, is become more and more confused. One of the wonderful things is the comforter comes to you. You don't have to go around searching for him. He will find you, because where you know and hear the word that is preached by the Spirit, you will receive that by the Spirit, and you will receive the comfort that is in that word. And you will want more of it. And that is how the Holy Spirit then joins you together with other believers of the same mind and heart and spirit. Because you want that comfort, you want that feeding. Because you have the new birth, you are a new creation now. That new creation has to be fed, has to be nurtured, looked after. You have to be built up, you have to mature and grow from babes through into adulthood. Does this. So he comes as a teacher to us. And that is why when we hear his voice, we follow that voice. And the reason we follow that voice is because that voice builds us up. It comforts us. It leads us and it guides us, you see. So there we see the Holy Spirit's work as a teacher. And of course, I might add with that, he not only teaches us, but he says, I will reveal those things to you in the hour when you need it. That is the experience of the teaching. So we're not only hearing this, being taught this, but we're also experiencing that which we're hearing. And how do we experience it? By the work of the Comforter, who brings that to us in order to experience him, to experience the trials that we go through, which the Bible speaks of. And so in order to experience those trials and to come through those trials to glorify God, you need the Comforter who's also going through those trials with you, in order for you to learn and experience that through we must go through much trial and tribulation in which to make it into the kingdom of God. So his whole ministry is here to take over. It's whether we let him. And you know, sadly you find so many professing believers who lack the Comforter, the Holy Spirit in their life. They're not really being taught by the Spirit. It's by the flesh, by the intellect. And that's why we're to test those things. And that, of course, is why there's so much unbelief as well that is to be found, sadly, in Christendom. So we're still dealing with this question, is the Comforter a comfort? That is the question. Now, I've already referred to you the fact that he has come as a teacher. And he says he will lead us and guide us, and he will bring those things to our remembrance. As I was preparing this, I was just thinking to myself, and I know we brought this up before, but the early church, most of them were illiterate. They didn't have books that they could get from a library or buy. They didn't have CDs. They didn't have all this vast collection which so often we have, and yet the early church was known for turning the world upside down. And yet look at the state of us today. With all that we have, with all the electronic media and everything, and yet we are not learning that the Holy Spirit is the one who comes to teach us and comfort us. And if we really grasp this, and we really want this, you're going to find that you don't want most of the things that's on your bookshelf. You don't need it. You have the Word of God, and you have the Holy Spirit. Because he's the comforter. The thing is, we're not yet still in our teaching, what we're going through, when we listen to the Word of God, we're not yet opening our hearts up to the Word that's being taught to us, is being taught to us that it may also comfort you. Suffice. I don't think we fully yet have understood that, because we're still running to things when we go in a trip. That couldn't happen. But the Holy Spirit will show you that, if that's what he requires. Or if the Holy Spirit requires you to go and dip 7 times in the River Thames, he will show you that. And the comfort, maybe you don't fully understand, remembrance. In other words, he will stir up our minds. He doesn't mean to say that, oh, I forgot that, and oh, thank you, Lord, I remember that. It doesn't really mean that. He can do that, and he does do that. It simply means that he's teaching us. He's bringing those things that have been taught over the centuries. The Word of God that is eternal, never has been. The Word of God always has been. In that sense, he brings all of that revelation in that due time and course to our remembrance. Because, of course, we can't take it all immediately. This is vital for us in our walk, in our trials, in our overcoming, and so on. So we must forget that he is our teacher. Then we see his divine work, the Holy Spirit's divine work. And for that, we see in Job, the book of Job, chapter 33, Job chapter 33. And verse 4, and here Job says, "The Spirit of God has made me, and the breath of the Almighty gives me life." So there we see the divine work of the Holy Spirit. You and I, and all of us listening tonight, sharing, having fellowship, we would not exist unless it had been for the work of divine work of the Holy Spirit. As it says in Genesis 2 and verse 7, "And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground, and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living being or soul." So there we are, the Holy Spirit, he is there present. He is the divine work of the Godhead. And he is the divine work in your life and my life, working, making us a new creation in Christ Jesus. That is the divine working of the Holy Spirit. And that is why we must respect him. He is gentle. He is never going to force himself in any way or form. That is why we have to be sensitive and open to the Holy Spirit and allow him to work his gentleness, which he is, in and through us, in mind, body, and spirit. So the question that we begin to raise now is, and I've looked a little bit just at the work of the Holy Spirit, his deity, his omnipotence as a teacher, his divine work. So the question now is, do we experience the communion and comfort of the Holy Spirit? Because if we're not, then there's a reason why we're not, and we've got to inquire and find out what, if need be, is going wrong. And for this we need to turn to 2 Corinthians 13 and verse 14. 2 Corinthians 13 verse 14. And here it says right at the end, "The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen." So the apostle says, as he closes in writing to the Corinthians, he says the love of God and also the communion of God through the working of the Holy Spirit. What is he referring to here? What is he saying here? Well, he's saying that the Holy Spirit is to commune with you and the church. And this is vital for growth. This is vital for us to make it through, to overcome in all things and to overcome in trials. We know him as the one who moves alongside. And I want to look at that later on. But we also need to see that the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, has come also to glorify Christ. And here we begin to find some of the major problems as to why the Comforter is not a comfort. And I want to just open this up in John 7 and verse 18. There's a lot of scriptures in this, and I don't apologize because I want the Word of God also to speak with regard to this. But in John 7 and verse 18, he says here, "He who speaks from himself seeks his own glory, but he who seeks the glory of the one who sent him is true, and no unrighteousness is in him." And here is so much of the problem. Unless the self-life is being dealt with by the Holy Spirit, the Lord will never truly be glorified through the work of the Holy Spirit. For us to experience the greater works, and I believe they're on the horizon, they are only going to come when we have learnt to glorify the Lord Jesus through the Comforter, through the work of the Holy Spirit. He is the one who is glorified. And everything that is done glorifies his name. And he gets that glory. Now you may say to me, yeah, well, I want that. And I believe for that and so on. Well, the biggest hindrance to Christ being glorified and lifted up in the church, the biggest hindrance is the self-life. And that is why the Holy Spirit is working with the self-life. Because we're told that out of our innermost beings shall flow rivers of living water. And let's be honest and let's face it, there are many times we have come to meetings, come to church,
a vast virus database has been updated,
and we have blocked those rivers of living water that should flow out in a meeting for the purpose to glorify the Lord Jesus Christ. We have hindered, we have stopped the Holy Spirit from doing that. And we wonder why we're not experiencing the greater works. He would never allow, he couldn't allow it until we have come to that place where he's fully glorified, where we come open, disposed for the Holy Spirit in which to glorify the name of Jesus. So we really need to understand this. There are times we've come to a meeting, maybe the Lord was leading us in a song, and you thought, oh no, I'll give it a miss today, or no, that won't glorify God. Lord doesn't use me. Or you came today and you felt, yes, I was going to prophesy, but no, somebody else prophesied, so I decided not to. Well, you can have three prophecies, you know, in a meeting. It doesn't just have to be one. And there can be many, many things. Not just that. There are many ways that we can come to a meeting equipped, ready to give, to minister to the Holy Spirit. Now, the reason that you may not be sometimes used in a meeting simply is because you are not experiencing in the meeting the Comforter, as you should. Because if he comes as a comforter, and a comforter is one who comes to encourage, to console, to lift you up, to quicken you, to revive you, to help you. That is his ministry. Now he longs to do that with some of us, but we don't let him. Therefore those rivers of living water are not flowing as they should. And therefore, if they're not flowing as they should, then how can the Lord Jesus Christ be glorified? There's very little there to glorify him. Remembering, of course, that he places within the church the gifts in which to glorify his name anyway. So I believe that this is still a major problem. And we're allowing depression, procrastination, unbelief, sin, you name it, to clog, to interfere, to get in the way. And that's why the Lord Jesus is not glorified. And if he's not glorified, we're not going to experience the greater works. Now, the only way you get delivered from this is that you draw comfort from the Comforter. It's not going to work by hearing this sermon tonight and say, right, I've got to do something about this. I've got to stir myself up and everything. It won't work because it will only last for 5 minutes. So often, lives where we've heard something, got stirred up, and yes, we're doing what we've heard for a few weeks, and then we find we slip back. And the reason we slip back, because we did not experience the Comforter comforting us, encouraging us, building us up, strengthening us in order to be able to be faithful and be resolute and to be able to stay with it. This is why we bob up and down, bob up and down. 1 minute we're hot, next minute we're cold, and so forth. It's what James says, we are tossed to and fro. Because we are still not yet experiencing the Comforter as we should be. He doesn't change. He is a Comforter, always has been, and always will be. And he is firm, he is the rock, he is the foundation, he is Jesus. And he is the one that you have to be drawing from. And it is self that is the problem. And that is why the Holy Spirit has come to empty us of the self-life, which is called the Parakletos, the emptying of self. And he's doing that right now. He is bringing us all to the end of our flesh, and our heart is failing us. It just seems as though I cannot overcome any further. It just seems as though sin and unbelief is just taking me over, and I don't seem to even have that will, that fight to be able to resist. What is wrong with me? Well, the Holy Spirit is bringing you to the end of yourself, myself, in order that you are supported and sustained by the Comforter, because that is where you glorify the Lord Jesus Christ. That is where your true joy is. That is where your strength is. That is where the quickening is. That is where the overcoming is. I could just go on and on and on. That is where the teaching is. The love of Christ is. The experiencing of God is. And so on. How we've still tried to do these things in the flesh. But praise God, he's in control. And he's using your very trials in order to work this. Let's face it, the church for many, many centuries has not had the Comforter as she should have had. So this is a great restoring that is taking place with the church, the overcomers, as the bride is making herself ready. And that's why you see many who profess Christ, they don't really have the Holy Spirit. The Apostle Paul touched on this. In Romans chapter 8 and verse 9. Romans chapter 8 Romans chapter 8 and verse 9. But you are not of the flesh, but in the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. Now, if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he is not his. He is not of God. So there is the test. Do I have the? Does the Spirit of God dwell in me and I in him? There is the test of it. And Jesus said, by the fruit you will know them. And the devil wants to rob you of this. He will always try and attack the Holy Spirit's working in your life, because he knows he is the comforter and he is the one who is bringing you into the fullness. And that is where he's going to attack you more than anything, because he doesn't want Christ glorified. Satan wants to be glorified. And if Satan can keep you down in depression and keep you down in apathy, procrastination, and all those things that we all battle with, then who is getting the glory then? Jesus, it's the devil. You say to me, well, how can that be? I go to church, I sing the choruses. You may be singing the choruses, but the devil is still getting the glory through you. Because the question is, are you singing, are you glorifying the Lord by the Spirit of the living God, the Comforter, or are you doing it by another spirit? Because that other spirit won't let you lift holy hands in his presence. That other spirit won't really let you sing and glorify God from the depths of your heart. That other spirit won't let you be thankful, thanking God in his presence. That other spirit working in you won't let you worship God in the spirit and in truth, in singing in those tongues and prophesying, speaking out in those tongues and so forth. I think sometimes he's got in far more than we have realized. What does it say in Galatians chapter 4 and verse 6? Galatians chapter 4 and verse 6. And because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. And he says, therefore, you're no longer slaves, but sons. Sons, and you're heir of God through Christ. So something within you cries out to the Father, draws from the Father, worships him. You can never be satisfied with Father's love and knowing for the Father's heart and what he's saying. There should still be that hunger within us to want more, to experience more, to hear more, to know what God is saying, you see. Because if we hunger, as it says in Matthew 6, we will be filled. And we will be filled. Some no longer really have that appetite anymore to be filled. You feel, oh, I've heard it all before, and, oh, I don't know, somehow, you know, just give me a break. No, we still are desperate for hearing and being taught and being filled, because the Comforter should be that comfort. Now, if you're truly born again, filled with the Spirit, something within you says, I want comfort. I need comfort. Jesus looked for comfort in his earthly life. He looked for comfort at the night of his betrayal, and he didn't get it. And something within me says that when Jesus rose and he went to the right hand of the Father and became the mediator, I can't help but feel that something within him said, well, I didn't get that comfort, but I'll make sure they do, and I'll give it to them. Amen. Because that is what he has come to do. He is the Spirit of holiness. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 13. So that everything God does within us is a holy work, is a work that separates us from the world, keeps us apart from the world and its ways, its sin and unbelief. As he says in Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 13, in him you also trusted after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, having believed, and were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. So he is the Holy Spirit of promise, and he has sealed you through the baptism of the Spirit, so that you will receive and experience him as Comforter. That is his promise. That is the sealing. And he is not going to give up on this. He's going to stir us up. He's going to remind us. He's going to keep us with this, just like what he's doing tonight. He's not going to let us procrastinate and fall behind in this, because he wants out of us those rivers of living water that glorify, that lift the name of Jesus. That's why we're told that he is the Spirit of truth. He's not only the Holy Spirit, that he does a holy work, but with that holy work, it is always truth. It's undefiled. It's not corrupted. It is the Spirit of truth. We're also shown that he is the Spirit of power, the dunamis power, that dynamite power, the very power that raised Christ from the dead is the very power that's working within you and I and in the church. That's going to be the power that's going to rapture us and take us up in the rapture, by the way. So he's the Spirit of power. We also know him as the Spirit of wisdom and understanding. So the Holy Spirit is to be a comforter who's teaching you wisdom and understanding. Remember, I gave a teaching a few weeks ago on understanding. There's no point listening to the Word of God if you don't understand. You won't get faith if you don't understand. So he's come as a comforter to help you to understand, in order that you can have that wisdom with what you understand. We're also told that he is the Spirit of counsel. Not only the Spirit of counsel, but of might. That he comes to abrogate in the house of God. He keeps it in order. He keeps us moving on. He keeps us overcoming. He deals with sin, unbelief. He has come as a counsel and might to work that divine headship with Christ, who should be head over the church and not man. We're also told that he is the Spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord. So he teaches us. The Comforter comes in order to teach us to fear God, which is the beginning of wisdom. And we need that godly fear. There's nothing wrong with that. So the Spirit comes to teach us all these things. So moving back, as I bring this to conclusion, back again to John 14 and verse 26. John 14. And verse 26, which I've already read, but I want to read this again. But the help of the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things that I said to you. And with that, in chapter 15 and verse 26, but when the Helper comes, whom I shall send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth, who proceeds from the Father, he will testify of me. What are we learning here? We're learning that the Holy Spirit comes to teach us, to bring these things to our remembrance, so that it will be a testimony of Christ. He says he will testify of me. So everything that is of Christ, what he is, who he is, what he's done, what he's doing, what he will do, he comes to testify, to teach us everything that he says and is saying through the Holy Spirit. That is why you don't need anything else. And when we are running still to other books and magazines and running always, we've got to have this tape, I must listen to this tape, I've got to listen to this at least 10 times and I'll get my healing. Now, if the Holy Spirit shows you that, then there's no problem with that. But if you find yourself striving at those things, you are not yet learning from the Holy Spirit, you are not yet experiencing those things that he brings to your remembrance. You cannot remember everything. You cannot remember all the Word of God. You cannot remember every word and syllable that has been uttered, even tonight, from this message. But the Holy Spirit says, I will come and bring it all to you, what you need to know. The same as what he's doing right now, this very moment. And you don't need to strive at that. You don't need to panic at that. You don't need to become religious with that and get in bondage. Rest in the Comforter's teaching ministry in your life and open your heart to him. And rest in that, and you will know everything you need to know. And that is how faith comes, by hearing and knowing. You're trying to get faith through you trying to do it, and you're not getting it through the Holy Spirit, who has come to bring those things to your remembrance in order for you to have faith and believe and act on that. That's where we go wrong. Still works, still flesh, pride, bondage. It's all there. I've done it. One that opens our eyes, the Holy Spirit, which he says he will do. So to know he's not only come alongside, but he's also come to take another part in our life. What has he come to do? He's come to take over. I'm now your teacher. You don't teach me. You know, at times when we rush still to these books and everything, it's almost as though we're teaching him. Here, I've got something here. I'm going to teach you, Lord. Now, it's not to say God doesn't use these books, but I'm addressing you now as mature Christians who are growing up. You're no longer under pedagogues and tutors. You're under the Holy Spirit's ministry and teaching, who I'm simply an instrument just being used by the hand of God. And so he's come along. He's taken over another part of our life. But he still remains the advocate, even though he's taking over our lives. He's taking over another part. What is he doing tonight? He's trying to show you, I'm taking over another part of you, and that is teaching you. Because you've tried to teach yourself, and you can't do it. And that's why you don't get faith. You can't hear, you can't receive faith if you're trying to do it and trying to teach yourself. That's not how you get faith. You get faith by my teaching you. And there's the difference. Hallelujah. We're on a breakthrough here. And I give God all the praise and all the glory in this. And so, he's come to take over another part, which is the same meaning, like an advocate. And finally, as we just bring this to a close tonight, in 1 John chapter 2, verse 1, I know you know all this very well, but I'm just now showing you that he's come as the Paraclete, and the Paraclete is a type of advocate. And we see in 1 John chapter 2, verse 1, which you know very well, "My little children, these things I write to you so that you may not sin. And if anyone sins, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous." And here is this same idea. It's the ministry of Christ keeping us in fellowship with the Father, which is, in effect, theologically, we say, his eternal efficacy of Christ's sacrifice. So Christ's sacrifice is still as valid, as new, today, now, this moment, than when he gave his life almost 2,000 years ago. That is why the blood of Christ doesn't change. It is the same today as it will always be. How do we know this? Because this is ministered to us by the Holy Spirit, by the Advocate. In other words, Christ's ministry, who's preserving and keeping us, even this present moment, right now, as I speak. And therefore, if we sin, we confess that sin in order for Christ to preserve and keep us so that we may overcome and make it in. Isn't it wonderful what God has provided for us in Christ Jesus? So the question I leave tonight for you to ponder and think is, the Comforter a comfort to you? And if he's not, then my prayer and desire is that this message tonight will open this door, that you will now begin to experience him as the Comforter. Because otherwise, it's no good. It will be bondage, it will be religion, it will be works, it will be dead, and it will never glorify the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, tonight we thank you. We thank you for speaking to us. We thank you for the revelation of this word. We thank you for the precious Holy Spirit who's come to take over, to teach us, lead. Lead us, guide us, to get out of the way, to step aside, just to allow the do its work.